There was once a young boy who was an only child. He was born to a German Lutheran family and lived in Cottage City, Maryland, back in the 1940s. Everything seemed normal for the 13-year-old, living a somewhat typical life. If you know someone who is an only child, or are one yourself, you'll understand that the things that they choose to do are different than those with siblings. They can't just ask to play a game, so they have to get creative and learn to play on their own sometimes. Well, this boy used to play with his Aunt Harriet, which was considered by some to be a spiritual person who taught him about the spirit world. Her choices, though, would be feared by many people today. She taught him how to use a Ouija board. And the Ouija board, which was first advertised in 1891 as Ouija, the Wonderful Talking Board, is a type of game played with two or more people. There's no objective and nobody wins. History says, though, that people have lost. What they do is they place their fingertips on a planchette and then ask it a question. The board has letters of the alphabet, numbers, words yes and no, as well as the word goodbye on it. Supposedly, people have communicated with the dead using that board. And that is what they would do until the death of his Aunt Harriet. The boy was devastated. But soon after her death, the family started experiencing paranormal activity, especially near the boy. Furniture would move and strange noises would echo throughout the house. Objects would levitate on their own. Family removed the boy from school because his desk would shake during class with no apparent explanation. Things only grew worse from there. In case any of these details sound familiar to you, it is likely because you may have heard about them. One of the most famous stories of a demonic possession and exorcism is based on this very case. Do you know what I'm talking about? I am referring to The Exorcist. I used to wonder why it states that it is based on a true story. But today, we'll find out why. My name is Edwin. Here is a dark memory. The Exorcist is a novel written by American writer William Peter Blatty in 1971. Films were based on the book, and perhaps one of the scariest ones I have seen on the general theme is this one. It is the book about a demonic possession of a 12-year-old girl, and the two priests who try to get rid of the demon that was taking over her body. Many of the viewers wondered about what true events the story was inspired by back in 1973 when it came out. They say his name is Ronald Hunkler, but the true identity is something that we will never be sure about. Roland Doe, Ronald Hunkler, and a couple of other names are used to refer to the real person behind the novel. But to make it easier for ourselves, I will just refer to him as Roland Doe. In January 1949, after his aunt had died, the strange occurrences started. Scratches from the walls and floor in his room would sound day and night, and water would drip from the pipes and walls. At one point, his mattress started moving on its own. His family desperately tried looking everywhere for help and eventually went to the Jesuits in search for anything that would help explain and get rid of the entity that had taken over the boy. Father Albert E. Hughes became the first Catholic priest to attempt an exorcism on him. Unfortunately, the process to try to get rid of the demon, whatever it was, went wrong. So the family eventually traveled to St. Louis to see relatives who hoped they would be able to help. This boy was not in good shape. Signs of his health deteriorating were visible. Nobody could explain what was going on. Eventually, a family member at St. Louis University connected them with Father Walter H. Halloran, and Reverend William Bodern, who performed the following exorcism on Roland. Now, possessions and exorcisms have their own place in history, but it is a widely believed practice today, though rarely in the United States. In other parts of the world, exorcisms are more common. Being possessed means that a spirit, typically an evil one, has invaded or is trying to take over your body. And people who have strong religious faith believe that through an exorcism, the invading entity can be cast out. And this isn't some made-up thing that a small group of people believe in. There is an actual, real written process for casting out a spirit. There are guidelines from the Vatican that were updated in 1999 in order to consider somebody as being possessed, and therefore qualifying for an exorcism. Some of the guidelines are: is this person displaying superhuman strength? Are they avoiding holy water? How about speaking in unknown languages or cursing and spitting? This person might qualify for an exorcism. And that is the stage where Roland Doe was. When Father Halloran and Reverend Bodern learned about the case and started the exorcism, they realized that this would not be a simple task to accomplish. The exorcism lasted for many nights. It kept getting worse. Reverend Halloran took part in the exorcism when Roland Doe, now 14 years old, was in the hospital. The Reverend was only 27 years old at the time and was called to help because Reverend Bodern needed someone strong to restrain the boy during the exorcism. Another priest, Reverend William Van Rue, was also present. It just kept getting more violent, with even more unbelievable things happening. Everything was growing worse by the moment. It was during the first exorcism with Roman Catholic priest Edward Hughes where, allegedly, during one of the exorcisms, he slipped his hand out of the restraints. And then the boy was able to break a bed spring and used it as a weapon to slash the priest in the arm. The exorcisms were done in two stages, the first being at his home, while the second, the more lengthy one, was at Alexian Brothers Hospital, where he was checked into. That's where the priest visited the boy and witnessed some of the things that only a demonic possession can do. They claimed to see a shaking bed, flying objects, and that the boy was speaking in tongues. Whenever any sacred object would be brought close to him, he would avoid it as if his life depended on it. During the exorcism, evil words and marks started appearing all over the boy's body. At one point, he yelled to one of the priests in Latin the following words: O sacerdos, Christi, tu sis mi esse diabolum, which translates to, O priest of Christ, you know that I am the devil. Eventually, the priests were able to remove Satan from the boy's body after many struggles. He lived a normal life after that. For a demonic possession to be common enough to have an established process on how to deal with it, makes me think about just how true these things are. There are a few explanations for it that actually make a lot of sense, depending on what your mind is ready to believe. Let's take a look at a few of them, as well as how accurate the movie was in showing these true events. The placebo effect is a thing of mystery. Still, after many years of study, it has been determined to be very real. What it means is that if you believe something is true, your mind and even physical body begin to react to affirm your beliefs. Which is to say, if you believe that you have a headache, your body might find a headache and you'll begin to feel the real effects of it. Alright, well, it gets much more complicated than that. which is why it is so difficult to truly understand what an exorcism does to a person. The placebo theory is saying that if you believe that you are possessed, and therefore not fully in control of your actions, an exorcism might work for you. Then, people who watched or read records of the exorcism watch it work, therefore reinforcing their own beliefs that yes, in fact you were possessed, and that an exorcism did the job. Ed and Lorraine Warren, American paranormal investigators who did deep studies into the world of demonology, very famous cases about hauntings, say that possession comes in three stages. Something to watch out for. The first stage is called infestation, which is when the spirit begins to make itself known, but does not always appear evil. Odd things may start happening and objects may move, and it may even appear helpful to the victim. The second is the oppression stage, where the spirit will begin to break down the will of the person it wants to possess. And suddenly, the victim does not appear to be fully in control. The third stage is possession. This is where the entity takes full control of their victim. Eventually, through an article in the Washington Post in August 1949, people started finding out about the possession. But there weren't actually that many details on it. It was a story that was simply read and forgotten. And it was the case for at least two decades. In the meantime, the unofficial diaries of the priest involved in the exorcism were being read by those interested in the supernatural. Eventually, this was used as a basis to create a book and later a movie called The Exorcist. Like I said, this movie was based on a novel that was based on this exorcism. And even though it was dramatized for effect on the big screen, there were a lot of things that matched the original story. I mean, there were things that simply did not happen. The victim's head did not spin 360 degrees, and there were never reports of the victim crawling backwards down the stairs, just a famous scene from that film. There was also no vomiting on the priest, and yes, the priest survived. But these other things did happen. The mattress did shake violently, and there were reports of multiple exorcisms taking place. Violence and profanity were also a part of the original reports of the exorcism. And yes, the victim was admitted to a hospital in real life. Still, the movie was able to scare audiences around the world when it came out. If you were to watch it today, you might find it interesting, though not as terrifying as most movies nowadays. The scenes during the exorcism and knowing that the story was based on true events are creepy enough for some of us. There is lots we don't know about the world that surrounds us. We can read diaries from priests describing their encounters or read through the guidelines from the Vatican who dictate what to do in such cases where a demon takes over a victim's physical body. We will still search for logical explanations for it. You may have even witnessed a possession or exorcism yourself, and still, your mind will not let you believe that there is something out there, lurking, slowly searching for its next victim. Remain strong, know what is out there and prepare for it, but strengthen your mind. Do not be afraid, they say. But a possession is bound to scare even the bravest person. Despite not knowing the true identity of the victim, though there is a credible claim from an author on the ordeal but refuses to reveal it, we can only hope that in fact, this Ronald Hunkler or Roland Doe did manage to live a normal life. Countless searches on Google and Facebook have been made to find the victim and connect with him. But after all that happened, it is true that some things are better when they remain hidden in the dark corners of our memories. A Dark Memory is produced by me, Edwin Covarrubias, with research by Madeline Guerra. Do you have a dark memory to share? You want to hear about it? Say hello to us over on adarkmemory.com or find us on our brand new social media channels. To stay up to date, tap follow on the app you're listening on. Until next time, thank you very much for listening.